fires it, and he rang it off the crossbar behind the net. Now Mitchell will flip that to the right corner. Makes a pass to the line, but kept in by Zaitsev. Matthews, little toe drag. He throws it out front, and that puck somehow stays out. They score, and it's Matthews again on the rebound. 2-0 Toronto. You think that kid is cool around the net? Hyman would have been better off if he was a left shot on that play, as he and Gallagher push and shove, the two number 11s. And they're going to drop the gloves.
What?
Right at center ice.
Little size difference there.
Gallagher and Hyman. Hyman grabs Gallagher, who's got the left hand on his collar.
Gallagher went to the body there.
Hyman with some punches. Now a couple of small uppercuts. And Gallagher goes to a knee. Kadri coming down the right side, taking a look at the net. Alsner's on him. Kadri back, and Carrick with room and a wrist shot, and that's knocked down in front of the net as Petrie had his man tied up, and they score. Marlowe at the side of the net bangs it in, and it's 3-0 Toronto. Leafs aggressive.
Yeah, very aggressive on their PK, and much more than they were in the first.
Mete to Petrie, scores!
And that's what happens when you're very aggressive. If the Canadians can win the battle, they had three guys on one side, and they got it over to the other side, which was Petrie for the one-timer to make it 3-1. So you take a chance when you're that aggressive. Again, by Lehkonen, and what a great shift this kid has had. And one thing about Lehkonen, sorry to interrupt you, Dan, he's going to give you hard work.
And a break for Matthews for the hat trick. Right in, scores.
And the first star from your Maple Leafs, number 34, Auston Matthews.
It's a little bit of a new system, and everything's, you know, things are clicking at times, and then you know, when it's apparent that when we get away from those things, it costs us.
Welcome back. Hour number 3, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo until 7 o'clock. Kai Hebert of the Als here, sideline to sideline at 7 with Joey Alfieri. Bill Lee after 5:30, Pierre LeBrun after 6.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Voted called Montreal's best sandwich in Montreal third year in a row. Thanks, Montreal. You gotta love a Dagwood sandwich.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm good, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine. That Auston Matthews guy's pretty good.
He is. He'll be up there. He'll be up there. McDavid, Crosby.
Oh, TSN. I'm assuming you're one of the 22 experts that
nope.
TSN. No?
Not this year, and I'll tell you why. I was gone on vacation.
Okay, because so normally in the past.
I take doing those. Yes, normally I am, but I take those lists, like I've told you, when I've been on the top 100 from the NHL or other lists I've been asked to be on. When I do those, it's a serious exercise. I really take it seriously, and I just wasn't going to fudge it and put names up. So I said, I just can't do it this year. So I'm not on that list, no.
All right, so McDavid for the first time.
I had McDavid 2 last year. I would have had him 1 this year.
That's
so
where
you know.
He is. McDavid, here's the top 10. McDavid, Crosby, Eric Karlsson, Patrick Kane, Carey Price, Evgeny Malkin, Nikita Kucherov, Brent Burns, Victor Hedman, Auston Matthews. Would you have Matthews behind Kucherov?
No.
I didn't think so. I wouldn't either.
No, I wouldn't have him behind Malkin.
All right.
I know.
I'm
friends with Gino. You know who Gino trained with all summer in Moscow? Radulov. They live in the same apartment building in Moscow. I was talking to Gino the other day. He said Radulov's going to have a huge year. They train their butts off. He really likes him a lot. He said he felt bad for the Canadians. Because Radulov enjoyed his time there. It's just, I think it was a question more that he felt that the team was trending in Dallas for Radulov's sake in the way he wanted to play. But no, I mean, I know Gino really well. I think you got to look at the clock. Auston Matthews is a kid. Gino's getting older. Sidney Crosby's 30. I mean, that's old for an NHL player. I hate to say it, but it is.
So Auston Matthews is 10, appearing on this list for the first time. You can check out the entire list at tsn.ca. Just for Canadians fans, in case you're wondering, you heard Carey Price 5 overall. Shea Weber, 42nd, is the 9th defenseman overall, according to this list. PK, Gord Miller will be happy to know, is now in the top 10 at 7. Max Pacioretty at 43, the 6th best left winger on the list of the top 50 players. Habs have three guys in there. So, you know, always interesting discussion. You know what? This is made for radio stations like this, 24-hour all sports, and pubs. Perfect fodder to sit down and hash this out over a pint.
We're sponsored by an awesome pub.
We sure are.
New York Orchard.
And they've been, John Orr and the gang have been sponsoring you, Pierre, along with Spiro and the gang of Dagwoods for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, and we're grateful every day. So I totally get that. I think your point is really well made. You know what's interesting? I would like to know, you talked about where Pacioretty is and how many left-wingers were rated ahead of him. Not that you have to do it now, because when I get home, I'm going to go look. Like to know who the guys are that they actually rated ahead of Max.
I'll tell you right now, Jamie Benn 1, Brad Marchand 2, Ovechkin 3, Johnny Gaudreau 4, Artemi Panarin 5. I think that's it.
No,
Forsberg.
I wouldn't do that.
Philip Forsberg is also ahead of Max.
So they think Forsberg's going to stay on the wing and not move to center? Because I think the potential. Anyways, I understand how those things work. Okay, that's reasonable. I wouldn't have Max that far back from the top. I think he's better than some of the guys they have ahead. But again, you know, it's a poll. It's a cumulative poll of all the guys that are on it. So I totally understand. There's some guys that might have Max at 4, and there's somebody else that may have him at 10. You know what I mean,
right,
Mitch? So that's
right.
How that works.
Something else. A year ago, Andrzej Kopitar was 11th. He's dropped to 38th. And Claude Giroux has dropped off the top 50 completely after a really
I'll tell you right now is if Andrzej Kopitar stays healthy, he will be one of the elite center icemen in the league based on what I saw from him from China the other day. He was outstanding. I mean, not just a little bit good. He was outstanding. So I would say that he's got a chance to be, you know, probably one of the better center icemen in the league. It wouldn't surprise me if he were in the Selke discussion this year.
It didn't make sense the kind of year that he had. And if you go
it did. It did, though. It did. He was hurt. You had World Cup. You had tons of hockey, two cups, plus Olympics. And remember, when he was playing for Slovenia at the Olympics, think about the minutes that he played and how hard he had to play at those Olympics just to get his team to even be in games. I was there doing them in Sochi. And so you combine that with World Cup, with the two cup runs, and the type of cup series they had to play because of where they are situated, I could understand why he had the year he had last year.
Okay, fair enough. I think a lot of people have started, much like this list, to kind of write him off, and he's now, you know, he has peaked, and we're not going to see the Andrzej Kopitar we saw again. No.
And I'll tell you what, if that's the case, you know who was in his draft that was picked ahead of him that plays for your favorite team? Carey Price.
Well, that, yeah.
So I'm just saying, so if you think he's peaked.
No, I don't agree.
He hasn't had nearly injuries that Carey's had.
I don't agree with that at all. That's why I'm saying.
Right.
I'm not writing. I agree. I think they're, you know, that was a aberration what we saw from Andrzej Kopitar. So let me.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
Let me get to the game last night. The talking point from a Habs perspective last night. This is Claude Julien.
Yeah, I thought he was one of the bright lights in our game. The way he handled himself against some NHL players, lots of NHL players, and I thought he was good. He moved the puck well. He skated well. He's, you know, you can see he's gaining confidence here. With his game at this level, so it was nice to see that.
Is it realistic to think he could make the same?
Right now, I would say it's open.
On Victor Mete.
Undersell, over-deliver. I don't know how many times I have to say that on this show. I don't know how many times I have to bring up Guillaume Latendresse. I don't know how many times I have to bring up better to be overripe than underdeveloped. I don't know how many times I have to say guys aren't physically ready for the 82-game grind, especially with the scrutiny of Montreal or Toronto or Chicago or Edmonton. He's a good player. Let him go dominate major junior hockey and let him go win a gold medal with Canada at this World Junior. Please don't do the same thing you've done before. Don't let, and I'm pleading to the Canadiens management, do not be intimidated by the media in Montreal. nobody that I know of that writes a column in Montreal has ever been paid to be a professional scout, coach, or manager. Please don't be intimidated by them. I'll take the bullet for you. Please, don't. Don't ruin the kid. Let him go back to London for one. Let him play 9 games. A little taste. Give him a tinge of a taste. And then let him go back to London. Let him play in the World Junior and turn him loose next year. Turn him loose.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that last part, given because they do have this 9-game window, and I think it's clear if David Schlemko hadn't hurt his hand, we assume it's his hand, we have no idea what his status is, right? He's a puck-moving defenseman that probably, whether it's by virtue of nobody else grabbing it or the fact that he happens to be a puck-moving defenseman, he'd probably be playing alongside Weber. Instead, Victor Mete gets an opportunity, and we talked about this before the game last night, Pierre, against a swift, quick team like the Leafs, and their forwards want to see how he looked. He looked good.
Well, I didn't talk about him so much. I talked about the team.
No. Hold on. Let me bring you back to last night.
The biggest thing for that young man is to be able to play, and we always say this when kids are getting opportunities, play to what makes you good. Why did you get drafted? Why do people respect you as a player? How have you been able to survive this long in camp? You play to what's gotten you through all those things. And in his case, clearly, it's his legs. So that's going to be playing to his strength, no question. And I love what you just said, Mitch. It is going to make it real interesting.
Pierre, the first 40 minutes...
That part I agree with. I was talking about the Canadiens as a team. That was my point of emphasis going into the game last night. So I just misunderstood what you were saying, but absolutely.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna revisit the whole speed with the team, but in terms of Mete and his legs, it's that's why I watched for the first time in training camp. I saw the first two periods last night because I specifically wanted to see how he stacked up against the Leaf forwards, and he looked fine. He didn't look out of place. He was their best player through 40 minutes. I didn't see the third period. Gallo, would you agree? He was their best player. No.
He was their best player.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we agree on all that, Eric. Because I watched too, just like you. I totally agree on that. My concern, Mitch Gallo, you're there every day, right? Or pretty much. How does he weigh over 170 pounds?
No.
Okay. Mitch Melnyk, 82 games playing on the number one pairing. Think about this now, please. Think about this. What did I say yesterday? Play to your strengths. At 100 and let's say 65 to 170, I'll be nice. 165 to 170. What do you think will happen to him by game 20?
Game 20? I don't know. Game 20. Game 20.
Yes, you do.
Come on. No, yes, he's 19 years old. He's 19 years old. You mean he's going to be beaten up physically by game 20?
He won't have his legs.
Oh, his legs? Why not? He's 19. His legs. I'm not talking about development now. I think you may be exaggerating a bit. Maybe game 40, halfway through the season?
No. He's going to be, if you're on the number one, listen to me.
Yep.
I'm going to be nice about this. He's in the number one pairing for the Canadiens. That's what they're saying, correct? Every night, he's going against the other team's best players. What do you think they do if they think that there's a shutdown mechanism that Montreal has and you get last change? What do you think the opposition does?
Well, they target.
They target and they go after your guys. Do you think they're going to go after Shea Weber or Victor Mete?
Gallo?
Well, I guess like I'm wondering, why do we have to worry about 82 games now when he has the trial that you're talking about? Like, can't they see how he does for 8 or 9?
Just let him have a taste, and then let him go back and rip up Junior. And Rod, can you get what I said about Latondres, please? And then rip up the World Junior. Why can't they let him do that?
Well, I love the World Junior so much, and I think it's a great development tool. What about a scenario where the Canadiens keep Mete, but still send him to the World Juniors, but don't send him back to London?
I think they tried that once before, and now they're complaining about the guy. Do you want me to tell you who it is? Alex Galchenyuk. I think that didn't work. They tried that formula. Remember? He started on the first line at the World Junior in 2013. His line mates were Johnny Gaudreau and Jimmy Vesey. I know both of those guys are kicking butt in the NHL. I know that. And I know one guy's being told that he can't play center because he's not good enough defensively. They tried that before.
Rod?
He got replaced by JT Miller during the course of the tournament.
Now,
yeah, but what does that have to do with his development as a Hab?
He didn't develop because he shouldn't have been in the NHL. He should have been back in junior crushing guys in his own zone and learning how to play without the scrutiny of the bright lights in the big city, without being told you're great, you're this, you're that. That's what this is about. How many times does this have to happen to this team before they say, holy shnikes, maybe there's something to that. Just so fans know, Melnick and I remember this. Guy Lafleur was 20. He wasn't 18 or 19. Mitch, tell the fans.
He was 20. He wasn't 18 or 19.
Thank you.
Wow. There is this consensus that Guy Lafleur struggled. He had a very good rookie year. He just wasn't Jean Béliveau. And then the weight of expectation appeared to affect him. And by year four, wasn't until year four that Guy Lafleur became the Hall of Fame player that we know.
Oh, thank you. You're the voice of reason on that, because I had to take a deep breath. I was perspiring.
Yes, Rod, you were saying.
Pierre, are teenagers, so 18-year-old, 19-year-old, are they better prepared in 2017 to endure a season in the NHL than they were in 1997 or 2007?
It depends on the body type of the player and the skill set of the player. I'll use two different cases in point. Alex Barkov, as an 18-year-old, could play in the NHL. He was big. He had good legs. He wasn't playing in a high-profile market, and he wasn't counting on being the savior of the franchise. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, as an 18-year-old, wasn't physically ready to play in the NHL. He was playing in a high-priority market, and he was seen as the savior of the franchise. Nobody even talked about Connor McDavid when he was drafted. Okay? He wasn't ready. Now he's a third-line center playing behind Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. He's injured beyond belief with his upper body and his shoulders. He probably won't have nearly as productive a career as he should have. So every situation is different. Every one. Jaromir Jagr was 18 years old in a man's league, and he was ready to play in a man's league. He really was. Lou Lamoriello, on the other side, didn't think Scott Niedermeyer was. So he didn't turn him pro right away. Even though Scott Niedermeyer is a Hall of Famer and an unbelievable player.
I'd like to just revisit Galchenyuk, and then we can continue on this theme with Pierre Maguire, Pierre LeBrun after six, Bill Lee coming up in a few minutes. The Galchenyuk situation is that everybody, and I'm not throwing you into this because I know how you feel about him as a talent, a lot of people are already starting to refer to him almost in the past tense here, and it's important to know that he's, whatever the circumstances, and no matter what the team looked like, he scored 30 goals in the NHL two seasons ago, and he produced at a point per game before he was injured last year. So if you connect those two, the end of the previous year and the beginning of last year, that is tremendous production for a player. Any player.
Any player in the NHL. I totally agree. I couldn't agree with you more.
So
he's not even playing his normal position.
So that's the confusing part of this whole Galchenyuk equation here.
So ask internally why he is consistently and constantly browbeaten. Why?
I can't answer that. There are people who claim he doesn't work hard enough. I'm not there.
Oh,
I can't see.
Bull poop. There are lots of guys that they say don't work hard. When they say that more times than not, you know why it is? They want to move the guy. They're not happy with him. Because you don't have... I will tell you this. Once you say that publicly about one of your own players, you know why you're doing it?
You're trying to justify moving him.
Correct. I didn't take him third overall. You didn't take him third overall. When's the last time the Canadiens had a pick in the top five? Before him.
So, Pierre, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, I just wanted to... I think Galchenyuk is a tremendous talent. I think the issue that most people have with him, though, and this is just the type of player he is, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but he's the type of player who is very good, but he's not great at making the players around him better. To be good, he needs good players with him to succeed. Whereas other players, they can do it on their own, and they can make the guys around them more efficient.
Okay, Great point. So here's a skill testing question I have for you. Name me a winger in the National Hockey League that makes the players around them better. What winger is an elite playmaker in the league? I would say most center icemen are guys that make the people around them better. What winger in the league would you say, oh boy, he makes everybody around him better? Which one?
Yeah,
I know one. I'll give you one. Do you want me to give it to you?
Patrick Kane.
Patrick Kane. You give me anybody else besides him that's a winger that makes the players around him better.
Well, only because we saw him last year. Alexander Radulov played more like a centerman than he did a winger. He was a playmaker. He is a playmaking winger.
Yeah, but he's a natural center iceman.
Right. Well, yeah. We haven't seen that in the NHL, though.
Yeah, I like Goudreau in that regard, too.
Johnny's a pure finisher. Johnny's a scorer, pure goal scorer. Look at his goal scoring numbers. He's a pure scorer.
All right, so let's get back to the blue line here.
Yep.
If there's nobody, if there is nobody by opening night, October 5th in Buffalo, who looks like they could play with Shea Weber and Mete continues to do what we saw last night. That's a big assumption, but let's assume that.
Yeah.
So you're breaking camp with him, right? And you got 9 games to figure it out.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. That's why I said at the end, give him a taste. I have nothing wrong with giving. I totally support. I would give him a taste too. If I were in Mark's shoes, I'd go right up to Claude and say, "Hey, Claude, we're giving him a taste. We'll see how he holds up. I'm not counting on it being really fruitful, but we're giving him a taste because you know what? Down the road, he's going to be one of our guys." And if it worked out where he stayed, I'd be really happy, and I'd buy my scouts the most amazing Christmas presents you can imagine. I really would, because that's one of the things you got to identify with your scouts. Great job. You drafted an unbelievable player, and this guy, and I think it was a fourth-round pick, this guy's going to evolve into a real good keeper for us. And now we can justify the trading of Nathan Beaulieu, and now we can justify the non-signing of Andrei Markov, and now we can justify the trading of PK Subban. Because this guy as a depth pick has turned out to be really good. Really good.
See, and another factor in all this is the injury to Noah Juulsen. It looked like he was like knocking on the door, and then he got hurt for six
weeks. He was. But in a perfect world, Noah had a much more experience than Victor. I think you know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
With the World Junior. So that's why that was manifesting the way it was. Size also matters, Mitch. Again, we've seen a lot of preseason wonders that have never turned into regular season wonders. That's just reality. We've seen that before. Not so much in Montreal, but in a lot of other cities.
No question about that. And that's why I don't watch until I did last night, because this guy's starting to become a story. I wanted to see him against the Leafs.
He is a story. He's a good story.
And as I said yesterday, it's at least getting interesting now.
Well, we're on the same page. And everything I told you yesterday about him is, I think, on the mark. My concern after watching that game last night, the identity of the Canadiens was supposed to be fast, quick transition offensive team, especially with the new system, right? That's what we're hearing?
Yep.
I did not see that last night. I'm sorry.
Well, they're struggling with it. Clearly, they're struggling with that, and they also had shoddy goaltending last night. That was not...
Well, the first goal, I know everybody's ripping on Montoya on the Matthews goal through Shea Weber. He never saw it. He never moved.
Yeah, but the two that followed were not good.
Well, the rebound control on the second Matthews goal was not good. Just he didn't track the puck.
And then the third one was right at his feet, and he didn't freeze it.
The one by Marlowe?
He didn't freeze the puck.
Again, he didn't track it well, but that happens to a lot of guys. I'm not going to blame him. I know one other thing I told you. Make it a fair fight between Montoya and Lindbergh and see how it works out.
Yeah, Charlie Lindgren. But Charlie Lindgren got hurt. He was supposed to play last night. He got hurt.
Yeah, I know that. He got hurt. But make it a fair fight between Lindgren and him and see how it turns out.
What are you watching tonight?
Rangers-Philly, I think. I get that one. I'm going to watch that. I don't know.
Did you see Giroux play wing last night at all?
Yes. Yeah, you want to hear a scary one? Before we go there, this is a good one. I really wanted to watch Senators and New Jersey up in PEI. Because when I worked for the Senators, one of the years there was a lockout, and I actually lived in PEI, and I used to eat at Doug Harvey's son's restaurant, the Merchant Man Pub, and in there every night. It was right across the street from the hotel, the Prince Edward, where I used to live, and there was a big oil painting of Doug above the bar. It was beautiful. So I wanted to watch that game. So I turn it on, and I'm watching the Islanders and the Devils from Brooklyn. So the game from Canada on U.S. TV got preempted because the Devils couldn't be on twice because of local television rules. So anyways, I was frustrated last night.
All right. So you didn't get to see Claude Giroux as a left winger, right?
Yeah, I was ticked. No, I saw Giroux.
Yeah, how do you look?
Good. It's all right. Yeah. He was good. He was good. I mean, I think it's an experiment. I think the biggest question for Philadelphia, and you know I've been bullish on their drafts. They've had really good drafts. They've got really good young players. They have to decide how many young defensemen they want to have with Provorov, with Goss Despair, Samuel Morin, Robert Hogg, Travis Sanheim. They have to decide. That's going to be, it's not so much Giroux on the wing. I know people are focused on the star power there. They have to decide what they're going to do on defense. I think that letting Delzato go this summer is kind of interesting. Delzato moved on to Vancouver. So that might open up a spot for some of these young guys. And I think their young guys are good. I really do. I think their young guys are really good.
Send one of them here.
Well, for what?
I don't know.
You could.
Starting point. That's your job to pick it up from there. It's like the sales guy. You know, the sales guy goes in and he delivers the pitch and somebody goes in to close it.
Do you remember in 2010 there was a guy named Halak?
Yeah.
Took the Canadians to the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Final.
I don't want to go to Lars Eller. No, please.
No, but Ian Schultz, too. So they and this is not the Bergevin regime, okay? This is another regime. They didn't even call Philadelphia. Trust me, and if they say that on the air, I'm calling bull poop right away because I checked with Philadelphia.
Oh, it's
because they wanted a goalie.
It's getting interesting. You know what? You know what's getting interesting when Pierre Maguire drops two bull poops into his segment, which is already 3 minutes long. We'll talk tomorrow, Pierre. Thanks as always.
I just like to have energy.
I know. I appreciate it. Hey, it's a good one. It was a good one.
That was fun.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Hockey Insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.